Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the doll community. With your host, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls, and Tammy Fisher, owner of Curiosity Dolls and Collectibles. Join us as we talk to and feature fascinating new dolls and doll artists, from avid collectors to repainters, redesigners, and all the people in between as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Here are your hosts, Georgette and Tammy. Hello, everyone. Thank you again so much for joining us for In the Doll World. I am one of your hosts, Georgette Taylor, along with my co-host, Tammy Fisher. And we are so excited to be able to interview today Naya Dorsey. She is the co-founder and creator of Brains and Beauty Dolls. They are 18-inch multicultural dolls that speak encouraging words and empower young girls to create better self-esteem and self-talk. And we are so excited to have her on the show. Welcome, Naya.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you.
That's great. Well, we want to talk to you a little bit about your journey into creating these amazing and beautiful. They are just so adorable, I must say. Their faces, I just want to kiss on them all the time. They're so cute. I want to tell
you.
These dolls are so beautiful. They really are. But before we get to how you got started in creating the doll, I want to talk a little bit and share with our listeners about your journey into that and on the path to becoming a doll creator.
Okay. Well, as everyone knows, my name is Naya Dorsey. I was born and raised in Jersey City, New Jersey, currently living here in Sicklerville. When I was a little girl, I did love playing with dolls. One of my two favorite dolls that I can remember to this day was Baby Born, which is funny because they actually still have that same doll now. They just upgraded in a little different ways. She was a pretty brown-skinned doll. She had a heart on her cheek, and she had like gold hair. Those are my two favorite dolls to play with when I was a little girl. It's funny because as I got older, I just stopped playing with dolls. And then up until I had my own daughters when I really got interested in loving dolls again.
Did you know why you stopped playing with dolls?
I just think I outgrew them and, you know, became a teenager.
Put those childish things away, right? That's what you.
Yeah, and I kind of got into sports, and I love basketball, and I played basketball for a while. That was basically how I kind of just went left from the dolls.
What kind of work did you do up to this time of creating dolls? Were you in any of that creative side of you show up in any of your besides your basketball that had to do with making dolls before?
No, not at all. Actually. And this, the whole story in general is just funny because after literally just outgrowing the dolls because I became a teenager and got into basketball, I never actually thought about a doll up until I actually had my own child.
That seems to be a common story. We had that same thing with C. Robinson. She wasn't, and I think she might have said she didn't play with dolls as a kid. And she had this daughter and started looking for Black dolls and had difficulty finding them.
I think, like, for me, it was one of the things. One of my majors in school was fashion merchandising. And I wanted to actually start my own clothing line. I got pregnant with my daughter. My desire to want to start my own clothing line kind of decreased. I was just home thinking about, you know, just things in general. And by that time, my daughter, she was about 1 month. I'm a little weird. But with anything, like, I think of things in advance. And one of the things that had crossed my mind was, like, a doll. And I'm like, at all the times, you know, I shop and do different things for my godchildren and different things, I've never seen, like, a really nice Black doll. I just called my aunt. I had like this long conversation and she agreed with, you know, some of the points that I was coming up with about creating a doll. So I actually took the time and wrote down different things of how I wanted this doll to turn out. How could it benefit my daughter? Like, to not just encourage her, but to have things more like her. So that's how I came up with having a doll with real human hair. Because I know, honestly, as a child, even the dolls I play with, if you put a hot comb or anything through that doll hair, it's burning, it's melting.
Yeah.
And some of the dolls come pre-styled. So you definitely can't do anything but keep it with the ponytail. So the hair was one of the important aspects for it, just to give him some type of human hair, different things, wash and different things like that. Then I was, you know, little kids tend to gravitate to the things that you say and the things that they see. So I wanted to encourage them. So that's how the empowering phrases came about. Mm-hmm. And then I spoke to other mothers that I knew and ask them, hey, what do you say to your kids on a daily basis? Or what do you want them to hear on a daily basis? And then with that list, I just chopped it down to 20 empowering phrases. And then I called, well, not called, but I researched and tried to find a manufacturer. I found one. Then I found someone who could really draw. And I sent them a picture of my daughter. And they were able to sketch a drawing of my daughter. So those sketches that you kind of see of the characters, the cartoon characters of the doll, was based off like a baby picture of my daughter, kind of just aged it a little bit and, you know, made it cute. And then I used those same pictures to send to the manufacturer. And then once I got my prototype, I was like, wow, she's really pretty.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. And then from there, like, Brains and Beauty Dolls just kind of started from there.
How long was your process from the time that you sat down and thought about creating that doll to actual prototype?
A little less than a year.
Okay. Wow.
A little less than a year. I would say about 9 months. But to be honest, some things I wish I could have changed a little bit, because now that I'm growing and I'm here, I see and know things differently. But it's okay, because you... Honestly, then sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, well, if I didn't have these failures, or if I didn't do it this way, I probably wouldn't have known. So sometimes it's good to experience things on the downside and still be up.
And I think that that's something that other people have spoken about. I know that Joseph Zekeris, he has the Glamour Oz dolls, and this is his, I think, second set of dolls, at least second set of dolls. And he talks about how this second set of dolls is different than the first set of dolls. And we had that same kind of conversation with Joey Bersaw about the Mary Magpie, about how he would do things differently. So yeah, that's just a learning and growing process. Yeah.
It's like you said, it's not bad for sure, because you do learn. And if you want to do more dolls, and you have an idea how you want to make those changes, but that's the beauty of that, you know, Naya, that you did it and now you have something that is out there and that's helping young girls. And now you have a legacy of what it is in your household to become an entrepreneur and to do the things that you want to do. And your daughter sees that. So I think it's all a win-win.
I think so too. One of the things you spoke about, Naya, was the human hair. And how did people respond to that? Because I remember feeling very strongly about having a doll with human hair. And I know you talked about being able to do certain things with the human hair that you can't do with like plastic, because most of the dolls have some form of a plastic fiber hair. So can we talk more about that hair, that choice?
As far as customers, I get a lot of positive feedbacks about it having real human hair. But then I've also read and, you know, saw things that some people like, human hair, what? I think it's very important, especially now, because a lot of us African-Americans, we like wearing natural hair. And as you can see, like within the jobs or even at school, you're being picked on, or it's against rules and regulations. So for me, I think that helps little girls learn from at a younger age that this is my hair, it's beautiful, and we can do different things. And they can get used to practicing hair that's just like theirs. I mean, depending on the age, you are allowed to like flat iron and do little twists and different things. Obviously, her head is a little small, so it's still limited to certain styles. But for the most part, you can wash it and have fun. And it's not like easily tangled and things like that.
So does it have to be conditioned because it's human hair? I mean, do you have to do those processes with it?
You can use shampoo, you can use conditioner, or you can just leave it as is. And both dolls have a form of kinky curly hair. The only difference is with Malia's hair. Once you wash it, her curls are not as tight as it is from the beginning. But the curls will come back if you wash it, condition it, mm-hmm. whatever. It will be fine. And it holds well.
Now, you did mention one of the dolls. So you have three dolls.
So
can you give us their background, their names and their background?
Okay, so technically we have two dolls that was in production. Nia, she didn't make it yet. We had a prototype. We actually recently did a pre-order session for her. But due to the coronavirus and the lack of pre-orders, we just decided to cancel her.
Okay, I didn't know that. So,
yeah, we recently made that decision. And we started, back in the end of January. And the problem with that is you have, from January to March, we decided to have the opening for the pre-orders for Nia. And then you had this big coronavirus. So, and then even before that, because of, the manufacturer is in China, and they had issues there at one point, a lot of factories and things shut down. So communication was very short. Then we turned around and we had it here. So between the dates and the times, and then people already pre-order, and then plus our pre-order rent list wasn't that high. It was just best to just cancel it out.
Right.
Some ordered in January. It's like, but now it's this month and I don't have a doll. So I just rather keep my customer service and hold back for a while.
Right, right. That makes sense. Did you have a small run with these dolls or a bigger run?
As far as Nia or just in general?
In general.
It was okay. And that was one of the things where I said, I wish I've done something better. And even to this day, I'm working on it. And that's marketing. And to be honest, I met a blogger named Debbie. She has her own, Facebook group and different things like that. She actually started sharing it with her Facebook group and her friends and stuff. And that actually helped me meet my goal with Kickstarter, because I thought something different about Kickstarter. And I know they have a lot of followings and different things like that. And I thought when people see that you have stuff there, they'll take a look. But it's not like that. You have to draw your own people into Kickstarter.
Yeah, we chuckled when you said Debbie, because Debbie is the first person we interviewed, Debbie Garrett.
Yes.
And she did a good job of sharing your dolls. I'm a member of her group. We saw lots of beautiful pictures of your ladies.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was going to say, honestly, if it wasn't for her, I don't think I would have really met my Kickstarter goal, because it was it was a struggle. And like I said, I just didn't, I guess, understand the Kickstarter process as much as I thought I did. But we got Kari. Now we're just going to wait for Nia until things start getting a little better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that, me and Tammy talk about a lot when we do this show, and I had a different idea when I was thinking about doing the show. I wanted to just showcase the people in the community, and that's great. But when me and Tammy were talking, we were saying, being a doll maker and a doll creator is not just being a doll creator and a doll maker. You have to be an entrepreneur. You have to be able to do the things that keep your doll in front of people. You have to be able to market. You have to be able to do PR. You have to be able to be on shows. And I think sometimes when you're, especially if you're a doll creator or a repainter or an artist like that, some of those things don't really kick off for you because you're not in that space.
Yeah.
But creating a doll is a huge business. It's not just creating the doll. And I think, like you were saying about the Kickstarter, you understood the process of making the doll and why it was important to you. But also then you had to understand the process of how Kickstarter is relevant to you.
Because it's like, I know for a fact I have an awesome product, but it doesn't go anywhere if no one knows about it.
Yeah.
It's all within the marketing. That's just something I'm learning right now of just how to market them a little better.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing differently now?
For the most part now, I'm actually talking to a customer service rep at Facebook to really know how to use the ads within Facebook. I've also reached out to influencers, you know, young little girls that, you know, have high followings. I send them product and stuff and they'll take pictures.
Oh, that's smart.
You
know.
I've reached out once to We Buy Black. They actually sell dolls on there. So that helped us with some followings. And actually, I did that last year in around November. That really helped a lot with sales.
Okay.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of the smaller doll people, the doll makers, are doing things like, we're seeing posts from them like daily. Joseph Zacharias, follow him. Joseph, to me, is amazing as far as the way he's marketing and managing his dolls. He does a great job. So I recommend that you go and look Joseph up and follow him. I'm just thinking about what you were doing and how we could help you. So let's get back to your doll. Why did you choose to have a doll that talks? Because we don't see many dolls that talk. Why is that important?
Again, because I feel like we need to encourage and empower our young girls and, you know, different households or just even sometimes your surroundings, just something as simple as going to school with bullying and stuff. It's so much negativity where I feel like if you have a doll that you actually love and play with and you hear all these empowering phrases, it makes you feel good inside and you tend to believe what you hear. So I thought that was kind of important. And I remember when I got my first prototype and I went to the park because I felt like I needed to take some pictures, do something, start showing people. And it was a little girl. And I asked her mom or her dad, could I take a picture of their daughter in a swing with the dog? And they said, yes. And the little girl happened to squeeze it, not even knowing that it talks. And the first phrase says, you're beautiful. And it lighted up the girls like so much. She had the biggest smile. She's like, daddy, did you hear that? She was so happy. And at that moment, I was like, okay, I just did something right. And I felt something because, I mean, I thought it was a great idea, but to really see a child react to it, it meant a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, that's so cool.
Would you mind letting us hear her say a couple of things?
Sure.
You are powerful. The sky is the limit. You are creative. You are unstoppable. Never give up.
Oh, beautiful.
Never give up. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah,
I think it's so important. You know, I've been in that space for a long time as far as affirmations and speaking powerful words to yourself as well as to other people. It is definitely one of the keys to helping, especially young people. I think that what you're doing is really powerful and very much needed, especially, you know, in the communities that we come from.
One of the reasons that I think that having dolls that look like you is important is we learn to nurture ourselves. And when we have a doll that looks like us, we're learning to nurture us, to value the way we look. When you have a doll that not only looks like you, but says lovely things, you know, you are beautiful, powerful, those kinds of things, your doll nurtures you. And I think that that's really cool. It's helping you to feel good about you.
No, you said you have like 20 phrases. What did you, was there a limit on the amount that you could use or did you choose that for a specific reason?
I just thought 20 was kind of reasonable. Even recently, because I do think your hair is just important as well. I wanted to switch out some of the phrases that we had and to reflect on phrases that refers to the hair as well. So just kind of mix it up a little bit. It's not set in stone. I've been thinking and, you know, I've also been thinking about being able for customers to customize their own voice box. So that's like another thing that I've been looking into. You know, maybe you have a granddaughter or something and you wanted to tell her how much you missed her or love her. When she presses the doll, she can hear your voice and hear those different things, along with phrases that we've came up with. So I kind of wanted to make it a little more creative and interesting.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is not a one-time gig where you do you know, one edition of each doll, you're thinking about doing different types of dolls in the future? That's what it sounds like you're saying?
I definitely want to do other dolls, even a boy doll. We have a character. His name is Jalen. We've showed it a couple of times, but he's not on the website or anything like that. But eventually we want to come out with him and other, you know, multicultural nationalities as well.
Right.
But we are a small company, so it will take time.
So will all the dolls be 18 inch or are you looking at different formats?
I think I want to stay all in 18 inch. The only thing I've ever thought of changing far as the body type is for the ball joints to where their arms and legs can actually move.
Right.
But even with that, I would still want all the dolls to be the same exact size. So there's never issues with, you know, the clothing that we sell.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. That makes sense.
Because I do know some of the articulated dolls, they're smaller than like the average American Girl dolls. And things like that. And our doll is about the same size as the American Girl doll. So if we do transition that way, we will definitely make sure that they're the same exact size. So whatever outfits or anything you buy from us, all the dolls can still fit the same clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's very cost efficient too. So
yeah. The existing doll is articulated at the head, the shoulders, and the hips. Is that correct? Is there a middle articulation? Like, could she move in the at her waist?
Just her legs can like turn around her arms and her head.
Okay.
From her neck down to her stomach, she's vinyl.
Because I was looking at pictures of her, and I can see a little bit of her upper chest, and I see that that's vinyl. So I was wondering.
Yeah, that was very important to me because I know some other dolls have like cloth up there, but when you have certain outfits on, you see it. And I kind of feel like it takes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I prefer the vinyl too.
I want to ask you, what has been the most challenging? Because, you know, people are looking at other people in this space and say, oh, this is something that I'd like to do. This is something I'm thinking about doing. Right. But, since they're not in there, they don't understand what all goes with it. So I just wanted to ask you, like, what has been the most challenging thing that you have found in creating your dolls on your journey?
Probably one of the craziest is just finding a reputable manufacturer. But then it's like, okay, you found that. So now you're like, oh, that was easy. But now you have to realize you're in the U.S. and that's another country. So when you're really trying to sleep, they're just waking up. And guess what? You have to work on their time. They're not working on your time. Really, to be waking up in the middle. And it's funny because my husband's like, why are you sleeping in the day? And I'm like, I was up all night. He was like, really? I'm like, yeah. I mean, that part was a little crazy. Oh, and another thing which I experienced, which is funny, I didn't experience with Malia, which she is our first doll, but I experienced it with Kari. And that is custom issues. I could have cried one day, like, and I'm like, I didn't go through this with my first doll. Like,
so, what kind of customs they were asking for?
Well, here was one of the main issues of what actually held up Kari was on the boxes, like the actual doll box, it did not say made in China. So what we had to do was print out labels, bring it to them because you couldn't even do it yourself. Then they charge you like maybe like $200 and they apply it themselves.
Wow.
For the boxes.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then I think another thing, which it wasn't 100% confirmed. So like when we did Malia, everything is under the business name. Now the lady from the manufacturer, the second time when she sent it, they did all the paperwork. Instead of using the company name, they used my name. So that actually gave you a red flag as well for it to get ordered and a lot of different things. But it was just, it was crazy. It was so much back and forth, so many different fees and fines. It was crazy. I was just like, I don't even want her anymore. it was like a nightmare, but it's definitely a lesson learned.
a learning experience, right?
For yeah. Sure.
I remember when we shipped the stuff because we had crates. And so I had to get a broker, a customs broker at the time. And it's probably a little bit easier now. I'm not sure. And so I had to go and I had to get a storage unit. I had to be there when they dropped off these big old crates. And then I had to, you know, transport all the boxes off the crates into the storage. It was just a mess. I was like,
yes. Oh my. We do the same thing.
Okay. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, the journey is a journey, you know. So the other thing I wanted to ask you before we left was that even though through all of this time, we know sometimes it's challenging, I wanted to know from you, what has been the most surprising or rewarding to you along this journey?
I think doing events like vendor and things like that, and you really get to speak and meet different people, and they really tell you, you know, how much they really love your product. It really boosts up your confidence. And then just to receive pictures or different things from little girls that's really enjoying it. I feel like I've done something to help someone, not just, I did something, I earned some cash. No, right. It's more than that. It's like you're changing people's lives. You're helping people to develop. Entrepreneur is excellent. I mean, you have your ups and downs, but it's a fun journey. It's an exciting journey. And another thing, and back to what you were asking me in the beginning, it's just like how I told you, like I outgrew dolls and different things like that. But just creating my own dolls, I've noticed and met other Black doll owners and just being in maybe like doll groups and stuff. So many beautiful dolls. And I'm like, I have about 5 different dolls that I kind of want to just buy right now. And I'm like, did I just become a doll collector?
Yes, you did.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a lot of beautiful dolls out there.
Yes.
Yeah. There really are.
They really are. Me and Tammy get the opportunity to speak to so many people who create amazing dolls. And we were just asked that on one of our last, one of our interviews that I'm editing now. And he asked me and Tammy, well, what's the last doll we bought, you know? And what did you say, Tammy?
It's my last doll.
Yeah, last doll. It's never your last doll. So we
exactly. It's always that's mine. It's always my last doll. This is my last doll, and then it's like $5 later. This is my last doll.
I've seen that on chats where people say stuff like that, and it's like, but I couldn't help it. I got this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't have room for it, but so I can find room for her.
I know one thing. I think about sometimes is actually being able to get into stores because I don't even know really how to put it. It's just one of those things where not just even with my doll, like you hear people on a daily basis saying like, hey, when I go to the store, I don't really see Black dolls. I'll see white dolls, but, and they may have like a Black complexion, but you can still see. Mm-hmm. But like I said, on this journey and just starting my own and being in groups and different things, you see all these different beautiful Black dolls, but to be honest, you never really hear about them. It's like a lot of these doll companies were out before me, and I'm like, I've never heard of you. And I have nieces and, you know, things like that. But up until I really got involved, this is when I'm starting to hear and see them. So it's like, how do we get out there so it's not so difficult for the average person who's looking for a doll can just say, hey, it's right here. Because there's a lot of people still believe that there's really no Black dolls when it's really a lot of them out there.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Things too about getting them into retail is the quantity of dolls that you have to produce in order to get them into stores. I think that's one of the challenges.
It's that. And then I also think there's a fee that you have to use their shelves.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's always at the end of the day, it's always about the money part of what you can as a doll creator can gather, you know, Kickstarter or something like that. It's not, you know what I mean? We have to figure out other ways to be able to have people gather around us enough to help us fund that, because it is financially, it's a big amount to put it out there, unfortunately.
You know,
it is.
And like you said, they have some of those lockdowns on those spaces that's only available to big manufacturing companies, you know, that have that kind of quantity and that money, you know, to have shelf space.
Yeah,
that's true.
So how do we change that? I don't know. You know, I mean, same conversation with this woman named Amma, and it was about her bringing dolls to Africa and places like that because there are not enough dolls on the shelves that represent who we are. But we know as doll makers, there are plenty of Black dolls out there.
I think that's part of why In the Doll World is important, because we are meeting so many small mm-hmm. doll makers.
Yes.
And sharing their stories, their journeys, and their dolls. I think that we are helping people to understand what's going on out there, because if you think that the only dolls that are available are the dolls that you see in your local right. store, I mean, you see some teeny number of dolls. I feel that that's part of our journey mm-hmm. as educating people about dolls. And if we right. also have the people who we are interviewing, if we are all sharing, like, so we interview you, we talk about your doll, and then you share the interview about the next person. If we all reach in and share interviews about each other, people start to learn about all these different dolls, because we are interviewing people from literally around the world.
But it also means that you have to have a huge volume, because that means the cost yeah. of your doll has to be so much lower for people to go and buy and purchase that doll. So it's a lot of different little things, but it doesn't mean it can't be done.
You know, back to what you kind of was just saying, something about the price. Through this journey as well, I've noticed there's a lot of people that comment on the price mm-hmm. of our dolls. Yep. And it's one of those things where I get it. Trust me, I understand it. But what a lot of people don't understand is, like mm-hmm. you kind of said, we're small. So for me, yeah. just even starting out, no one's helping. There's no, you know, right. loans or anything like that. So that's right. we're putting out what we can. So now these dolls company charge so much because you're only buying but so much from them. It's a lot right. to us, but it's not a lot to them. And, you know, you have to pay all these fees and different things to get the doll as a whole, where by the mm-hmm. time you get her, you have to still make profit for yourself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the doll so expensive. But people don't always see that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of take them away, because either right. yeah. they just feel like they can't, that is too much for a doll. And then some people just really, I can't really afford it. As much as I want it, I just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a serious doll collector. I say that because when I look at your dolls, the price of your dolls, for the 18-inch dolls, they're in the more affordable range, because, mm-hmm, you know, yeah. like the American Girl dolls, when they came out, I mean, and you'll still see them over $100. It's not uncommon at all. Your dolls are priced, I think they're reasonable. You have a doll that has hair that your kids can play with and do all these different things. You have dolls that have a very specific look. So when I look at your doll that's less than $100, that doll is not an expensive doll. So again, that goes back to educating people about the doll arena.
And I think for what you offer in the doll, it's definitely not expensive, because you do offer, like you were saying, it's not just the doll, right? It's the empowerment. It is the connection. There's these empowering words to help your child feel good about herself. You know, it's the hair that connects her to the hair that she has. And not even that, you have to just show them other things that are of value. It really is about a lot of the things that you're doing as well, Naya, is connecting with those groups and talking to those people and finding out that, yeah, there's other Black dolls that can be had.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Thank you so much for joining us here, Naya, on the show. It's been amazing to talk about your journey and to see your dolls come to fruition. And I'm so glad that you were able to create the doll that you wanted to create. And I'm really looking forward to so many more things from you.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to future interviews. Let us know when your next dolls come out. We'd love to interview you and help to promote your dolls. We're excited.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thanks for having me again.
So welcome. And share with everybody, you know, how they can connect with you, and what's your website and your Facebook.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our name is Brains and Beauty Dolls. You can also take a look at our website at brainsandbeautydolls.com. For all the followers, you can use a coupon code DOLLWORLD for additional 10%. 10% off our base price, yes.
Okay. Yeah,
which is $89.99.
Again, yeah. Thank you for being on In the Doll World. We really appreciate that.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to In the Doll World. Me and Tammy really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other doll enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show, or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the doll community in your area, please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedollworld@gmail.com and or tammy.inthedollworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedollworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Doll World.